What did they find? Anything? They did find some spots on his brain? Okay, but they didn't see the signs of a stroke or anything? Oh, okay. Yeah, what's her name?
Susan Resendi.
Resendi's, and the boy that died?
His name was Nathaniel Rose.
Nathaniel Rose. He was a young man, handsome young man.
He was.
Remember that, Susan Resendi's. Remember her in your prayers, if you will, and the others who requested prayer also. Let's begin our worship service tonight with hymn number 514. We're marching to Zion.
Come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known. Join in a song with sweet accord. Join in a song with sweet accord, and thus surround the throne, and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God, but children of the heavenly King, but children of the heavenly King, may speak their joys abroad, may speak their joys abroad. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. The hill of Zion yields a thousand sacred sweets. Before we reach the heavenly fields, before we reach the heavenly fields, oh, walk the golden streets, oh, walk the golden streets. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Then let our songs abound and every tear be dry. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground. We're marching through Emmanuel's ground to fairer worlds on high, to fairer worlds on high. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God.
Hymn number 61. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus.
To my glorious rest above.
Time in Exodus, when Moses and Aaron came before Pharaoh and asked for the children of Israel to be let go and to go out of the wilderness to worship the Lord, 3 days' journey out of the wilderness, he refused to let them go. And we saw that Egypt was a picture of fallen, useless, Christless religion. And we're going to jump around a little bit tonight. We're going to deal with some of the things Pharaoh said in the 8th and 9th and 10th chapter, leading along the same lines of what he said in the previous part of chapter 5. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Exodus chapter 8, and we'll just read one verse of Scripture. After great plagues had come upon Egypt, Pharaoh relents in chapter 8 and verse 25 and says, Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we come in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, the King of kings and Lord of lords. The perfect sacrifice for our sins, because it satisfied you and your justice and your law. Put away our sins by that sacrifice, forgave us of our sins, and advocates for with us before the Father every day, the Lord our righteousness. We thank you, Father, that we have the knowledge and understanding because you have given us faith. We can never understand what you've done, never truly grasp it in our hearts and embrace it and rely upon it and lean upon it and rest in it, had you not given us faith to see what you have declared in your word. We thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for new mercies every day, grace upon grace, for ruined and wretched sinners without hope and without help except for that grace. We thank you for the access we have into the grace wherein we stand. And we have peace through the blood of the cross, where Jesus Christ has reconciled us unto you by that blood. As we look at the passage of Scripture tonight, these passages of Scripture, let us do so with an understanding and an appreciation of what you teach in your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, because Israel had demanded to be set free to worship God outside of Egypt, 3 days' journey outside of Egypt, Pharaoh, which pictured false religion, as we saw in Revelation, when Babylon, the great whore religion, is called Egypt and Sodom, he added works and burdens upon the people when they asked to go out and worship the Lord, and he called them idle. Because they would have to leave their work to go out and worship the Lord, and he didn't want them to do that. And he called their demands to be vain or empty words. This is the way of religion without Christ. The people of God, however, were resolute, and they said, let my people go. Now, when religion sees that it's lost its influence, represented by the response of the plagues and frogs, and the plagues of frogs and flies. There's too many F's in that sentence. When he saw that it did not touch God's people, it only affected Egypt. It only affected Egyptians. You see that in verses 8 through chapter 8 and verse 22. And God says this. He said, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen. That's where the children of Israel were. Now, the land of Goshen was part of Egypt. It was part of Egypt. But somehow along the border of that land, God raised a shield that couldn't do all the plagues that landed in Egypt could not cross that line. He said, I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, and no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of thee. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so, and there were grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and all his servants' house and all the land of Egypt, and the land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. Now, not one fly crossed that invisible border into Goshen and landed on an Israelite. Why? Because God controls all things. You know, people say, well, I heard somebody say animals have a free will. No, they don't. You don't have one either. God controls things. If he can tell a fly not to land on your head, he controls all things, and he did that. Now, Pharaoh, after this had happened, this swarm of flies came, and it corrupted Egypt. He relented, but he didn't do it absolutely. To lose such a labor force was unheard of. He would lose his numbers. That's a pretty important thing in religion, if you don't believe so. When people talk to you about the church you go to, one of the first things they ask you is, how many you got? How many people go there? And what I like what old Laverne used to say, she said, everybody's supposed to. That's how many go there. Everybody's supposed to go there. And he couldn't abide that. So religion and Pharaoh sought a compromise to diminish this radical idea of leaving altogether. Let my people go. He wanted to come up with an idea. Religion wants you to stay. Religion wants you to stay and is willing to forgo certain things in order to get you to do so. Many times I've been told that I don't need to be so narrow, and that the folks believed I was a Christian too, and they wanted me to stay with them, but just don't bring up the differences between what we're saying. I actually had relatives say to me one time, we know you're a child of God, and we are too. We just don't mention it what you believe when you're among us. Don't talk about that. But they felt completely free to talk about what they believe, but I couldn't talk about it because the minute I talked about it, they heard something altogether different than what I was saying. They said they would think that I was saying that they weren't a child of God. Now, I never said that to anybody. Never told anybody they wasn't saved. But when I tell them the truth about how God saves sinners, most of them think, well, you're saying I'm not saved. Well, if that's what you're hearing, maybe that's the way it is. Just don't tell what you believe and we'll all get along. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But this is the tactic of Pharaoh. Look at verse 25. Into chapter 8. Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron and said, go ye sacrifice to the Lord in the land. Not outside the land, not 3 days outside the land, but let's do it inside the land. Pharaoh concedes that he's losing he's fighting a losing battle, and these narrow-minded people are going to leave if he doesn't act fast. So he comes up with a compromise. He tells Moses that he can sacrifice or worship his God with the blessing of Egypt. But why go out into the wilderness? Just stay here in the land and worship to your heart's content. And Moses says, that's not going to happen. In verse 26, Moses said, this is not meet or suitable so to do. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and they will not stone us. And will they not stone us? We will go 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, and as he hath commanded us. Moses is not calling the Egyptian deities and their gods, their multiple gods, their pantheon an abomination, though they clearly were. He declares that the sacrifice of Israel, if offered in Egypt in that land would be an abomination to the Egyptians, and such action would cost the, it could cost the Israelites their very lives. He said, if we do it here, if we go out and worship, if we worship the Lord here, you know, if we hold together, our hands together, and go in a circle and dance and be free, because that's what worshiping God is, being free. If we do that, it's going to be an abomination to Israel. Israel, and this is true understanding. The sacrifice of Christ, which fully and totally accomplished the salvation of the elect, without any contribution of the elect, is an abomination to religion. That's why I came. That's why I've been asked to leave in several places I preached before. Said folks don't want to hear me anymore. The believer worships God in Christ, and in Christ alone, and he does that condition solely. The believer solely upon the successful substitution of Jesus Christ, by which he saved his people from their sins, those for whom he died. He saved them. He redeemed them. That's what that price was paid to God. It wasn't paid to men. It was paid to God. The sacrifice was made to God. The Jesus who died that men talk about and actually saved no one or only made salvation possible is a false deity and cannot factually bear the name of Savior, because in actuality he didn't save nobody. He just made it possible for them to be saved. That is a false Jesus. That's not the Jesus of Scripture. The Jesus of Scripture got his very name of Jesus, Joshua, the Savior, because he shall save his people from their sins. And when faced with this tenacious attitude of the people of God, Pharaoh relents and seeks another compromise in verse 28 of chapter 8. His Pharaoh says, well, I'll let you go, that you may sacrifice unto the Lord in the wilderness, only you shall not go very far away. You can go, but just don't go so far away. Okay, you can leave the land and sacrifice to your God, but don't go too far. Let's keep the lines of communication open and see if in the end we cannot teach some doctrine of practice, some compromise that we can agree on. We're all religious folks. We're all going to the same place. And surely you don't have to be to totally break with us. That's what he's saying. When the people of God leave the house of Belial, the house of Belial sees that action as a declaration that they are not saved. When you and this has happened to me, you know, when why did you leave our church? Because of what the truth wasn't being preached. Well, you're saying I'm not saved. I'm not saying that, but that's what they're hearing. That's what they're hearing. They're saying, no, don't do that. We're all religious folks. Just don't go too far. If false religion were true, there would be no reason to depart. People have said, why are you so narrow on the doctrine of God's grace? Because I believe that's how God saves people. That's what he says in his book. In his book. Why can't you just give a little? Can't give a little on that. False religion were true, there would be no reason to separate. Simple as that. I'd still be in false religion if it was true, but it's not. Light cannot have fellowship with darkness. It cannot, lest darkness be considered to contain some light, which it does not. Oh, they say, well, they have some truth. I've heard that said so many times it makes me sick. But some truth, let me tell you, some truth is not the truth. That's a whole big difference. And if you put a dram of strychnine in a cup of tea, it is no longer tea. It's poison, and it'll kill you. That's a fact. Any partial truth, listen very carefully, any partial truth is an entire lie and is at its heart deceitful dealing. In verse 29, it says, Moses says, behold, I go out from thee, and will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh and thy servants and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully. Deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go to sacrifice. Though Pharaoh hardened his heart, after more plagues came, he again relented and came up with yet another compromise. Now, in between chapter 8 and chapter 10, he gets tough again. Putting more labor on the people, working them harder. So God sends some more plagues. In chapter 10, in verses 8 through 11, it says this, and Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. Now, this is after he was hard. But who are they that will go? And Moses said, we will go with our young and our old and our sons and our daughters. We're going to take everybody. And our flocks and with our herds we will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. Amen. So he's not only going to take having the old folks go out and worship. He's going to have everybody go out, even the flocks, the herds. Of course, they can't have the herd have sacrifices without the herds being with them. And he said to them, let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it. And your little ones look to it, for evil is before you. So go, go now that they, that go now ye that are men and serve the Lord for that you desire. And let, and they that are driven out from Pharaoh, they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Now this is the subtlety of religion. You can go and worship God, he says, but the wilderness is a dangerous place. Leave your children in our care. He said, you old grown-ups, y'all go on and worship, but leave your children with us. Leave your children with us. Now, no doubt, that's an attack on the family. There's no doubt about that. But nonetheless, he said, we will give them a faith-based education and prepare them for life. Just leave your children with us. We'll take care of your children. It disturbs me to no end when some who declare that they believe the truth of the Word of God will give their children over to false religion to get them educated. That has bothered me since the beginning. Now, when these church schools started, and I'm not saying all of them are bad, but when church schools started, they started for one reason. They started for one reason because of the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s. That's why they started. I remember it as clear as a bell because I went through it, and I remember as soon as they started to allow black children in white schools, the churches started having their own schools. I mean, it was just almost, it was like that. It was like that. But most of these church schools teach a false god. They teach a false god. Now, this is not giving credence to public education, for of late, it's not very credible either, to tell you the truth. But putting your children in the hands of false religion is having them learn of a false god? I can't imagine. False religion can live with you believing the truth if they can be the ones who train up your children. Pharaoh said, you can go, but leave us the babies. Leave us your children. And the believer says, no way. Everybody's going up, young, old, herds, babies, boys, girls, the whole shooting match are going to go. The kids are coming with us, and when we worship God, they're going to see how it's done. Later in this same book, after they've offered up the Paschal lamb, the blood that was put on the doorpost, the lintels, and they started what is called the Passover feast, God said, when your children ask you what you're doing, they're going to be asking what you're doing. Why do you do this? Tell them, well, we were servants and slaves in Egypt, but God delivered us by the blood of the Lamb. You tell them that. You tell them that, and that's where we get the Lord's table from. Finally, the truth comes out. Though Pharaoh relents again, his final compromise reveals the true nature of false religion. In verse 24 of chapter 10, Pharaoh called unto Moses, said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. You can take your little ones, but let your flocks and your herds be stayed. You can go. You can leave. You can take your little ones, but leave your herds. What's he saying? He's saying, leave us the sacrifice. Leave with us the sacrifice. Religion will go to any measure, compromise any principle, if they can still retain the name of Christian. And you know, just look what's going on today. You tell them that's not what God's word said. Well, we're Christians too. Religion says, do what you must, leave us if you must, take your children if you must, but don't say that we're not Christians. We want to keep the sacrifice. Leave us the sacrifice. And the fact is, when the believer leaves false religion, the sacrifice goes with him. Christ goes with him. And what's left in the lurch is religion without Christ. Now, that don't mean religion don't work. Religion is big business. And business is good. More money spent on religion in America than on anything else. In the music field. Do you know that? classic music, country music, rock and roll, and blues sell a lot of music. So-called Christian music outsells all four combined. And most of what's called Christian music ain't nothing but junk. Ain't nothing but junk. But it's big business. I remember years ago, Rex Humbard's wife. Y'all might not remember Rex Humbard in the Cathedral of Tomorrow, but that might date me. But he was a big dog on TV and had all these crusades and was big wheel, you know, big business. And if they asked his wife about why he calls his place the Cathedral of Tomorrow, why they go through all this women in chiffon dresses singing and all this big production, why they do it, she said, religion is big business. And if you're going to make it in this ministry, you got to have a better line of balloons than the church down the street. A better line of balloons. That's what she said. Religion is big business. And as long as you don't say they're lost, as long as you don't say they're unbelievers, they're okay with you. The believer worships God. He worships God as God has revealed himself in this book and as God has commanded. And that is by giving glory to God for the salvation of his people by the blood of Jesus Christ alone. And he renounces any work or labor of his own and trusts Christ alone for his salvation and all his righteousness. He dare not twist the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And there is no place for compromise. When Joshua left and crossed over, he told the people that stayed on the other side of Jordan, you can worship those gods all you want to. He didn't say you can worship mine. Because over there outside of Canaan, outside of Canaan land, you ain't going to worship God. He says you can't worship God. But you can worship if you want to. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. That's how this works. This is what Moses and Aaron were saying. And Pharaoh simply represents all the efforts that religion makes to keep people in their hold and in their control. You can leave, but don't go far. You can leave, but don't take your children. You can leave, but don't take the sacrifice. Don't take the sacrifice. False religion is a powerful thing. And for God's people, it's simply this. Sorry, we got to leave. We got to leave. Father, bless us to understanding. Pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right.